This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny.
Welcome to season 3, everyone.
We are back. We are back. We are getting Doug back.
And then we're going to find our friend Doug, and then we're going to give him a friend hug.
Best friend hug. Come on, man.
Best. God damn it. As I was saying it, I knew it felt wrong, but I was like, no.
You know what? You know what you're gonna do now. You know what you're gonna do now. We fucked up.
I started us off on the worst possible fucking note. All right, that's season 3. Everybody, thanks. Goodbye.
Yeah. Roll credits. Speaking of rolling credits. Bon Wee, Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah.
Not as a person, yeah. But as him,
oh,
as
no,
Loki.
Yeah.
So, sorry, that was like, let me confirm.
Also, like, considering how celebrity deaths have just been on the rise the last few years, we need to preface this. Like, no, we're talking about his time as Loki.
14 years. Although, it kind of did hurt that when he said he started at 29, and I'm 29, and I'm like, oh, my life sucks.
Yeah, I mean, that honestly, bro, that's why I stopped following certain people. Well, not stop following. Like, I just mute certain stories on my Instagram, because, like, nah, I feel enough like a piece of shit. I don't need the reminder that truly a piece of shit.
But, I'm so glad that you're successful, I say as I reload my sniper, looking at you in your window. Although, have you seen the killer?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Do you want to see it?
I do.
Okay, then I won't say anything. But like,
okay,
the opening sequence of the killer, bro.
Mm-hmm. Quintessential
Fincher. The whole movie, like the soundtrack, So I learned something today.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2015, is that when 12 Years a Slave came out? Holy moly, we're almost 10 years ago from 12 Years a Slave coming out. Holy moly, but like so. The slave owner, Michael Fassbender's character, was played by Brad Pitt. He ended up still producing it, but didn't play the character.
He
said he didn't want him playing this role to have a negative effect on his kids, because he's adopted black children and didn't want, like,
yeah,
Well, through him and Angela, they've adopted black children. And he went to Michael Fassbender. He nailed the role. Guess who was supposed to be Michael Fassbender's character in The Killer? Brad fucking Pitt. Apparently, the character is too nihilistic. It's not a role he wants to do anymore. I think he's like sort of going for a little bit more fun. He's like sort of in the twilight of his career, and the fact that we have to say that kind of makes me sad because, you know, grew up with this motherfucker.
I mean, I can appreciate that. Like, I've definitely noticed that in a lot of the stuff that he's done recently. It's a lot more light, comedic, and a little more on like the absurdist. You know, Bullet Train is up there for me. Like, I thought he was great in it, but he was just so fucking funny.
I saw that multiple times in the cinema. I enjoyed it that much. Saw it with you in the cinema. In the UK, no less. Holy shit.
In the UK, yep.
God damn.
That was over a year ago, dude. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. We are in November, people. And
yep.
It is. Christmas is on the way. Summer is over. And it's too fucking cold.
You know, not only is the summer over, but finally, all the strikes are over.
Yes.
In the time that we took off.
Oh, my God.
The writers got their deal. The actors got their deal. Hollywood's coming back. There have been a bunch of delays, but shit's coming. And I'm hyped for it. I'm ready for it. So right off the bat, what is the thing you are the most excited for? In the pipeline. And I'm talking one thing of everything, because the second the actors' strike was over, people were like, announce. We were bombarded with announcements like fucking dicks flying at you at hyperspeed.
We didn't get it yet, but we were supposed to. I need that Superman Legacy cast. Not Legacy. What's the Superman movie called? Is it Legacy?
The one that... James Gunn's
Superman movie. I need that.
No, you had it right. It's Superman Legacy.
Superman. Yeah, before it was. I just thought Legacy kind of makes it feel like Legacy is what you leave behind, but it's about young
not
Superman.
What you start with.
I was like, like it's like you got to get the glasses with like the tape, the buck teeth, and like. The neck bit.
Actually,
James, Legacy is something you leave behind.
Does not compute, James? Like you wanna take it back, bro?
As a reader of comic books, James, where are you going, James?
Like, we all know those kind of people. Like, Reddit sniffers is what I like to call
you
them.
You make them sound like mole people, dude.
Because they are, because they just live in, like, in a dark room with black curtains, the Reddit sniffers sit and they're, like, you know, out here looking for discrepancies and shit. Like, what did I see recently that was just, like, I knew could not happen? The Marvels. They restart the sun. The bit of the sun gets pulled away.
Yeah.
And all I thought when I watched it the second time, yes, I've seen this movie twice in cinemas already, was... I just know Neil deGrasse Tyson is going to be like, the irreparable damage done to the Earth by now. I'm like, shut the fuck up, man, and watch a fucking movie. Jesus fucking Christ. So I need the Superman Legacy cast, and I want that Fantastic Four cast. Like, both of those were, like, just as the strikes were hitting, or, like, at some point in the strikes, we were told we were going to get when they were over, and they're over now, and I'm like... Where are my announcements? But if we're being more literal, Doom 2. That we should have had this by now. We should literally be starting this podcast talking about how great it is, how excited we are for Doom Part 3, because we know there's going to be Part 3. But holy moly. Doom Part 1 was so good. And I just think Part 2, like, you saw the trailer for Part 2 before the strikes happened. And you can't... Like, the ultimate edging is what I'm calling this. You cannot get me that close and then be like, okay, cool, we'll see you next year. You what, bro?
Hi. Deuces.
I'm, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, you started, you finish it. Like, my one-shot pump-action yogurt dispenser is ready to go. Like, my purple-headed womb ferret, come on, man. What about you, dude? What are you looking forward to, man?
Deadpool 3.
Deadpool 3.
That
was pretty much done before the strikes were finished.
But before the strikes started. Yeah, like they had like 50% of the movie done and then they stopped. So it got pushed back because of it. So now we're getting it July next year.
July. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. It's the only Marvel movie we're getting next year, isn't it?
It is the only Marvel movie coming out next year. And I think honestly, because you brought up the Marvels, it's a great fucking idea. Because the Marvels financially is not doing well.
No.
It is a good movie. It is a fun movie. But I think that superhero fatigue that everyone talks about finally hit the MCU. And I honestly think that's why. Because obviously you're going to have those fuckers.
It's not the best MCU movie. It's not the worst MCU movie.
No, but it's what you want from a comic book. You want a fun time. That's what these movies are, you know, at the core, they should be a fun time. I enjoyed it immensely. I enjoyed the chemistry between the three leads. The post-credit shit just fucking heart pumping so hard, dude. Oh, I'm so ready for it. Yeah, man. It got me excited about comic book movies again, which I will admit has been wavering. In recently, just because, you know, not really sure how things are going, like with the Jonathan Majors thing, are they even going to stick with the canned shit? Can they even move away from that at this point because of how invested
it
they are with him?
It felt like at least the last episode of Loki season 2, for me, don't know if anyone else out there feels the same way, felt like they were like, if they wanted to pivot from Kang, Loki season 2 opened that window, at least nudged the door open.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm hoping they can figure that out.
I hope they don't because I don't want to run to Jonathan Majors' defense. Like, he's been accused of some really, really horrible shit, but he's nailing this role. He's nailing this role.
His performance is amazing.
I just want to talk about one moment in Loki season 2 that, like, I've had to point a few people to because they missed it, and it literally made me laugh so much. I think it's in not the second to last episode. I think it maybe the second to last episode or the third to last episode. Like, Victor Timely is in the TVA, and like he's like being sort of passed between like Mobius and crew and Renslayer and Miss Minutes. And there's a moment when Miss Minutes is like sort of breaking down and she starts glitching and she's like, there's something wrong with my, and Victor Timely goes, there's no need for mocking.
Bro, but I remember seeing that shit and just Bernie Mac in the back of my mind.
Yeah,
he was teasing me.
But it's the, like, when like the Loki Kang monologue off in the final episode, that's where for me Jonathan Majors was like, yeah, I'm born to play this role. Yeah. If you've not seen the last episode of like Loki, people, go do yourselves a favor, go watch season 1, season 2, because holy guacamole,
it's so good.
Yeah, so it good. Is. It is beyond good. But yeah, like, you know, Marvels, not beyond good. But if, like, what I don't like is people using its box office failure as a failure of the movie as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're doing that shit, then Killers of the Flower Moon is a failure.
Yep.
Those box offices are near identical. But because the Marvels has this expectation as a superhero movie, as a Marvel movie, and because, like, you know, you got to look at the Killers of Flower Moon going for more accolades, going for more Oscars, you know, apparently that movie, like, we can respect that movie a little bit more. I don't know, man. What did you make of, like, the box office failure of the Marvels? Like you said, like, you think superhero fatigue was kicking in?
And that's the thing. You know, you know, we're using the word failure, but it's like, it's only been out a weekend. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it didn't have the best opening weekend in comparison to other Marvel movies, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a failure. You know,
mm-hmm.
how do we know when it's a failure? When it stops generating money? When will it stop generating money? Never. Never. It'll have its theater run. It'll make its way to DVD and Blu-ray sales, and then it'll make its way to streaming. That's money, 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 money.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I look at it as like the movie Elemental from Disney, and it didn't do well in the box office, mind you. However, the second it got to streaming, that fucking movie blew the fuck up.
And it was still in cinemas, and people... And it restarted, and it made more money than Across the Spider-Verse.
But and what my takeaway is, though, is that the importance of, like, the opening weekend has faltered because of streaming, because of stuff like that. So I don't think it's as big of a deal, but because so many people still put their heart and soul into how important that opening weekend is to determine whether or not a fucking movie works, of course it's going to be looked at like a failure.
Yeah.
I don't think it is. The movie had a lot of funny moments. It had a lot of heart. It has a lot of great fucking moments. Like I said, great cast, great chemistry, great performances. Fucking Miss Marvel. I can't, Iman.
Iman Vellani.
Yeah.
Nailed.
Fucking nailed it. And I mean, she has
held the movie together.
Oh yeah, like, she's poised to be a huge
so much
thing
charisma.
And she proved it in this movie.
Yeah,
so I'm, you know, I enjoyed the movie. I have no problem watching the movie again, and I can't wait to see it.
And
again,
it looked like for the first time Brie Larson was comfortable as Captain Marvel.
And you know, the worst, you know, any hate that she gets is just so fucking unfounded. Yeah, she was a little, you know, she's coming into a very much established universe, and she was going to be crowned as the most powerful character in that universe. I imagine there was going to be a little, you know, getting used to it kind of period, but I loved her in the first one. I loved her in Endgame. And I love her in this one. I think Brie Larson's a phenomenal actress, and she doesn't deserve the crap that she gets.
All right. So that is our opening. I hope you can realize that we're sort of editing the way we do things now, mm-hmm. Over here at Freeballing. Yep. But we just want to sort of segue, because we love our segues over here. Speaking of failures... We're going to be looking at some Disney movies that some people might be called underrated hashtag failures, but we don't think they are. We need to give them some love, so we're going to give them some love. We'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So, just before we went for the break, we were talking about the Marvels, its lack of box office, equaling it to being a failure. And so me and Sebastian sort of, like, this isn't the, like, this, it wasn't, that wasn't the reason why we want to talk about sort of underrated Disney movies. We actually, what was it I found? I found a TikTok. No, it was a meme. It was like, it was like a little GIF, and it was Tarzan.
Yeah.
As he's like sort of comfortable on the vines, you've got Phil Collins get like bleeding into Mike Mancina's soundtrack because they both did it together. Mike Collins, Phil Collins on the soundtrack, like one of his songs. I can't remember which one, but he's on the vines. He's swinging, and the caption was, "Oh, just for just letting you know, Disney's 3D animations haven't topped this." And I happen to agree. But then I said to myself, hang on, Tarzan's one of those movies that is just, for some reason, I feel like part of my childhood. I saw, I remember going to Disney World, both Paris and Orlando, in the, like, within the space of a few years. And Animal Kingdom was all over Tarzan. And even and Magic Kingdom was as well. It was for me probably the first flagship Disney I ever saw. But like, in terms of the footprint left, I don't think many people consider it the same size as like Cinderella or Snow White. And I'm like, fucking what? What are you talking about? Absolutely, it needs to be like up there with the big boys. And like, just a little bit more research, I was like, hang on, are people actually considering Tarzan an underrated Disney movie? And then I opened up the dialogue with you, and I said, we need to talk. I'm sort of considering underrated failures. Because, you know, same word to, you know, it's like it's under a blanket. It's like to make it like make a less of a hit, like so like pull like Scooby Doo, pull back the mask. Oh my god, it's the same thing.
Oh man, no, I completely agree. Like, you know, obviously we're talking about the Marvels and how the numbers don't necessarily reflect on the movie as the movie is. We see that all the time in Disney, especially in the early 2000s. I feel like that was just such a major component, because you think about a lot of the animation. We're specifically focusing on underrated animated movies in this episode.
Yeah.
You know, there are a bunch of underrated live action movies that we will get to in another episode down the road, but animated movies, it's Disney's bread and butter. So that's what we're going to talk about, especially since it is still the 100th year of Disney, which still blows my fucking mind. And it's, you know, you think about Tarzan, calling Tarzan being an underrated movie, and it really fucking shouldn't be. You know, it probably didn't do all that well in the box office, but it's got such a following and some love from like the diehard fans. That's basically what we're talking about here. We're talking about the movies that maybe didn't do well financially, maybe weren't accepted critically, but were able to do what movies are supposed to do and connect with people and get people to talk about and love these stories. That's what these movies are. These are the movies we want to shine a light on. And obviously we're starting off Tarzan, huge movie. And I mean, Phil Collins, man, the man said, "Hold my beer," and just banger after banger after banger after banger. The animation is amazing. The story is phenomenal. The cast is perfection. Okay, so I'm curious as to if, in terms of Tarzan, what is your favorite? Like, when you think Tarzan, what's the first scene that pops into your head?
Oh. I've got two.
But same.
So the first, like, as soon, I knew you were going to come with this question, and I was like sort of in my head thinking about it. And I think the two, like the first one is probably the opening sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, I was a child when I saw that. Like, I was like, what the hell is going on? And then the other one, again, because I saw it as a child, was like the baddie. Can never remember names of characters today. I'm usually pretty good, but I'm pretty bad today. I've turned Wi-Fi off my computer because it was affecting my thing. I can't cheat Clayton. But it's when he dies, the lightning strikes, and you can see him hanging.
You just see his fucking feet.
Oh my! I'm like, my auntie took me to see this movie. Me and my brother, and she didn't see it. And I remember her, like, I think she had to go, like, she saw it again, because it was like back in the day, like, you just took kids to go see movies over the weekend. It was what you did. And like, she took me and my brother, and then I think she took her kids again. And I remember when I saw her after that, she was like, well spotted. And I, like, and it's like, just without knowing, even back then, my little filmmaker brain was like, I see something you didn't see. I'm good at this. Okay. But yeah, like, the opening, so basically the opening and the end.
Fucking A.
And then also recently, when he's carrying the girl through the vines, and he's got both hands on her.
Be chased by the
and then it was like, wait, is the vine between his butt cheeks then? Like, someone actually drew like concept art of where this vine is, because it's behind him, and he's carrying the girl and they're swinging, and I'm like, hold up. That is some proper good clench action. Like, you know, this is why the movie's got a cult following, bro. Fucking Tarzan out Tarzan out here showing love to, you know, steel buns, bro. Buns of steel, my G. What about you? I feel like you said you had two moments. Did I steal one?
No, you didn't.
Ah, okay.
I just want to say, like, in terms of the entirety of the movie, I feel like you chose the two darkest moments from the movie.
Well, I was a child.
I totally get it.
The darkness never left, bro. it just got bigger and worse.
So one of the first moments that I it's a montage of him, you know, kind of learning to be, you know, a proper gorilla, what it means to be part of that family and stuff. And you have the
isn't that to like the flagship song? Yeah, I was gonna say.
I think the song's called "Son of Man," and it's this, it's just such a sick beat. And you have all these cool little moments, and the transition of him jumping into the river with the elephants, being thrown up as a kid, but landing as a man is such a sick fucking visual. And then so you have all these. So that's number one. Number two is Tarzan isn't even part of it. It's all the gorillas when they're in the camp and they're just smashing shit and making just like the funkiest jazz beat, dude. And it's just so fucking good.
I hate that scene. You know why I hate that
scene?
Do
you?
Because that level in the game fucking still hurts, man. The game, the Tarzan the game... I was like, I don't know, 1999. I was born 94. Makes me 5. The game did not need to be that hard.
Yeah.
I'm out here trying to get into some gorilla funky music time. And my character's like, I double jumped. Why are we back? No. Bruv. And then you get to the final level and you realize you've missed a piece of the map. I'm like, so you got to go through it again. And then you finish it again. And you realize, oh, this is gaming in 1999, not now. No checkpoints. I've missed one of the letters this time round. So I need to go through it again. I hate that song.
Bro, I was not expecting to trigger that. God.
Honestly, you could have chosen any other scene but that. But as soon as you said that, all I remember is these. Like, you can't, like, no one can see me, but you can tell by your laugh that I'm out here, like, banging air drums. Christ, man. But yeah, that Tarzan, where do we want to go from Tarzan?
I think from Tarzan, you know, because thinking, you know, the jungle, I think a good transition might be the Emperor's New Groove.
Emperor's New Groove, eh? Kuzco's poison. The poison chosen specially for Kuzco. Right here.
I love this movie so much. And it's crazy to think that it was in it. I don't know if you know the backstage stuff. Apparently, it was supposed to be a completely different movie. The people at Disney saw it. They hated it. They completely scrapped it and started over from scratch. And that's where we got the Emperor's New Groove.
No, I had no idea, man, about that. What?
Yeah, man, it's crazy. But I mean,
you know when had our meeting and I was talking about like information you wanted to put underneath the movies.
Uh huh.
Why didn't you say that then?
Because I didn't remember it till just now.
So, you know, there's this movie with the wedding singer, right, with Adam Sandler. And you know, he gets stood up at the altar, and then he's like playing with the little wedding cake figurines, and she shows up. You know what line he says when she's like, "I'm in love with Robbie then, not Robbie now." And you know what Adam Sandler says? That would have been useful yesterday. Just remembered. That is a whole cereal bowl of yum yum. Get you some information, Sebastian. That you've been holding back.
We were talking about it, and I was just so focused on like the cast and like that stuff. I completely spaced on that.
We're out here trying to spell Yzma. It's not with an E; it's with a Y. For some reason, this is. It sounds like, you know, it definitely sounds like there's a Z, like an S or a Z in there. It's a Z or a Z. J Zebra.
I will say, in terms of the just overall film and performance and stuff, this is probably my favorite David Spade performance.
My favorite David Spade performance is he plays the Firefly in Spyro, Dawn of the Dragon. Not Spyro, he plays the Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
Like your little companion character, and he just I'm pretty sure he ad-libbed every single line. It's so deadpan,
no doubt,
filled with hate, because he's like, I'm just here for the money, man. So he's like saying all these lines, and it's like I watched a playthrough of the game, like, because I sort of went through a nostalgia trip during summer. I was watching on YouTube long plays. And I watched Dawn of the Dragon. I'm not going to load up the GameCube. I'm not going to find Dawn of the Dragon. I'm not going to go to DK Oldies and pay 500 quid for a refurbed GameCube from the Dark Ages just to play a game at like 16-bit at like 8 frames per second. No, my eyes would melt out of my skull. Like I've chosen the golden chalice and not the little wooden piece of shit. Chose poorly. Like, I'm gonna watch someone else play it for like 2 hours on a YouTube video or some shit. And I was like, holy shit, that's David Spade playing the Firefly. Holy shit, that's Elijah Wood as fucking Spyro. Holy shit, that's Gary Oldman as the Elder Dragon. Holy sh! Like, oh no, what's the guy's name? Oh, plays the. You keep talking about Emperor's New Groove. I need to find an. There's another actor in Spyro: Dawn of the Dragon that I need to remember.
Okay, I mean, so obviously David. I mentioned David Spade, and I can't talk about David Spade's performance. I talked about Jonathan Goodman's, and like,
oh my god!
If you know about David Spade's career, you know obviously he had that very close relationship with Chris Farley. And I feel like he plays off of big guys very well, because like I want you watch Cusco and John Goodman's character Pacha play off of each other. I get those Spade and Farley vibes, man. Like I feel like that's one of the reasons that I connected with this movie so much. Like they bounce off of each other so effortlessly, and it's so fucking good. Oh my god, you found the actor, didn't you? And you are blown away. Who was it?
No, I found more. Christina Ricci is Cinder. Wayne Brady is Sparks. Blair Underwood is Hunter. Corey Burton is Voltaire. But the one I wanted to know was Kevin Michael Richardson is Terrador.
Dude, what a fucking cast, bro.
What a fucking cast. Wait, Wayne Brady is Sparks? I thought... No. Have I lived my entire life thinking this was David Spade? Mark Hamill is Malifor? Fred Trastacore is Meadow? Huh? Is Dawn of the Dragon the game I'm thinking of? No, Dawn of the Dragon is the third one.
So we're probably going to have to do an episode on like video game cast, because I feel like that's going to be huge.
Spyro, what's the name of the game? New shit. 2004. Let's do Spyro 2004. No, not A Hero's Tale. So let's try 2006. A New Beginning. That's what. Yes, I know they could only. I knew David Spade only did one game. I know he left. It makes sense. Yeah, here we go. David Spade did Sparks. So, David Spade to Wayne Brady. But, like, we're talking early noughties. David Spade was kind of, like, falling off. Wayne Brady was coming up. So, that's a good trade. But, yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. So, back to, yes. Like, I think I love John Goodman as Patcher. But, bro, come on. Come on, Patrick Warburton is Kronk, man.
Man steals the whole fucking movie.
Squicker, Squickerson, Squicker, Squicker. Why is this an underrated Disney movie?
I don't
know. Why is the Disney the Disney everyone else seems to like not watch, hate, or consider a failure? Like, is this?
I don't know, man.
Do I like all the bad things?
Just going off of that. I mean, if we want to transition into our next one, I think Treasure Planet is probably the way to go.
So, like, I'm pretty sure I nailed this at just before we started recording. This is a staple of freeballing.
We need to find
someone who like made this movie and just like put them under freeborn and is like, hey, me and my boy, we love your shit.
We should put a message out to JGL, dude. Hey, dude, we would love Treasure Planet, bro. You want to come on and talk about it?
Honestly, like, you know what, like. I've been out here for the past couple of weeks, just like, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna get an email off IMDb Pro saying like, yo, we're good at like, here's your money back. You're not welcome here anymore. Because I've just been messaging agencies, and some of them have come back a little bit like, you know, I've opened up the email. It's nice. I've not said, oi, sign me as a writer. Like I've made this whole email. me and my mate have been like going through it because he's an actor, he's got agencies, so he's been helping me kind of like how to reach out kind of thing in the best way. Mm-hmm. And my mum as well, like great with grammar, used to be a teacher. So I'm making sure this shit's spelled nice, it looks nice. You know, it's on the computer, but that shit smells nice too, you know what I mean? Like, damn. No, it smells like desperation in here. No. But like, some of them have come back, it's like, oh, I don't appreciate being emailed out of the blue. And I'm like, okay, I get that. Remove your email from IMDb Pro then, because that shit's a choice. Like, some of these, some of these motherfuckers out here with their number, man. And I'm like, I'll just straight up text you, bruv. Like, yo, fancy a pint? Talk about movies and that? Like, if you don't want to be, like, I don't appreciate being emailed out of the blue. Well, bun you, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've not said anything. Like, I've apologized. I apologize. This wasn't my intention. But, like, there's a little, like, I'm at, like, you know, the other Ed. You know, I'm kind of like Liam Neeson from the Lego movie. Hello. All right, I'm the other side. Like, just like flips around. Hello, buddy. Just flips around. Like, we all, like, if you know me well enough, you know that, you know, there's two Eds up in this head. Yeah, not like, you know, Gen V, which is, yeah. Look, I'm not seeing people as puppets. we're good there. We're good there. But yeah, like, you know, just got to take the good with the bad sometimes. But yeah, I've been mad emailing. But like, we should reach out to him. Fuck it. Why not? Like that would be sick. Because this movie, man. Like I'm gonna say to you what this motherfucker says to the main guy. I hope when you succeed, I'm there just to catch a glimmer of the light coming off you that day. Bro, how do you write this line for this movie? And then not only the critics, not only the fans, but even the studio hated this movie. Like, you know, Disney did not want this movie to come out. Mm-hmm. Like there were no, like I remember trailers back in the day. Like, I could not, like, there's a movie we're going to be talking about in a couple of seconds, and I'm going to talk about, like, the beginning of, like, sort of the in-your-face trailers about it. But I don't remember the trailer for it, like, A Treasure Planet. The only thing I remember was McDonald's. The only advertising I remember Treasure Planet getting was it was, like, the classic, like, kids today they get the shaft with, like, the McDonald's, like, kids' toys. We used to get, like, sets, like, actual, like, stages with figurines and shit, and Treasure Planet was one of them.
Mm-hmm. You know what's crazy to me? It's like, I remember for the longest time, obviously, like, this movie had a theatrical run.
Mm-hmm.
For the longest time, I thought this was the most impressive straight-to-DVD.
Wow.
I had no idea it was in fucking theaters, dude. I had zero idea. Zero. Yeah, man. It's a young Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and then you got fucking Martin mm-hmm. Short in this yep. movie, and you're like, and you're not putting the money behind it? Jesus, man.
Well, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, fucking, like, it would, you know, Joseph Gordon-Levitt when it is little Bab. It's not Joseph Gordon-Levitt now.
No, I know, but still, it's you know, it's like you said, it's, you know, all the only advertising you're doing is through fucking McDonald's. The movie's not going to do well. Everyone goes to fucking McDonald's. There are so many people who actively go against McDonald's or fucking everything, especially when
this kids. Like, this movie is underrated because it was throttled at the starting line.
Yeah.
It's a little deaf kid being told to run the 100-meter dash, and he's not going to hear the gun go off. So the guy's got to go up to this little kid and wave at him. So, oi! Fucking run, man. Oh. It's too late, bro. You're last. Sorry. Get some hearing aids.
Jesus Christ.
Like, how do you expect How did, like, fuck you, Disney. I'll get that on a, get that on a t-shirt for my 30th. Walk through Disneyland with that shit. Walk through Disneyland. I'll walk through Disneyland with just I love Treasure Planet. Where's my treasure planet land?
He got rid of it for Star Wars Land. It's as close as you're gonna fucking get, bro.
100%.
Right, so on the flip of it, you know, you were talking about being completely bombarded with that advertisement for our next movie. Atlantis, the Lost Empire.
Holy moly. I remember, like, there was no movie I wanted to see more as a kid, only because, mm-hmm. like, you know, I was watching SpongeBob back in the day. I was watching, you know, Looney Tunes. No, what's the Looney Tunes Junior or whatever it's called? Looney Tunes Kids or some shit. And it's...
The Baby Looney Tunes?
Yeah, the Baby Looney Tunes. I forgot what it's called. Looney mm-hmm. Tunes Junior. And I'm like, you know, Cartoon Network, like Disney XD, you know, FX Kids, like, yeah. like it was everywhere. As soon as the adverts hit, boom, Atlantis. And mm-hmm. I remember just sitting there, cross-legged, Cheerios, my eyes just widened, like it was almost like it was like Treasure Planet. It was just bombastic, fantastical, epic. I'm slowly remembering Atlantis, and I'm getting goosebumps because, like, the little child in me again is there. You know, he's still there in my mind. You know, there's three heads in there now. There's the dark head, the happy head, and then there's the little nostalgic head. He's still there eating Cheerios. He probably shouldn't have been. Mm-hmm. He's probably one fat today because all it is, you know, little circular rings of sugar. You want sugar in circular form?
Yeah!
Every...
All day, every day!
Actually, I wasn't really... like, I'm out here saying Cheerios. I was more of a Cocoa Pops guy. are they called Cocoa Pops for you? What are they called for you?
Oh, Cocoa Puffs.
Cocoa Puffs. Do you have like Rice Krispies?
Yeah.
Yeah. Put those in chocolate. Cocoa Pops.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's shit. Like as soon as you put the milk on, start eating that shit. Because in about 10 seconds time, not so good. No. Not good, right?
He's soggy as shit.
I remember when we went through our cereal phase, when we lived together.
Yeah.
I remember the first time you'd finish that bowl, and like I'd have to pause whatever we were watching, just because there'd be like a good 5 seconds of...
It made the milk taste good, bro.
But yeah, Atlantis, like the beginning of me sort of maybe being a bit like, I'll see a trailer and I'm like, oh, because I didn't do that recently with Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, and I bought that shit and kind of now regretting it.
Well, on the bright side, you're not the only one, from what I hear.
No, I'm really not. I'm really not. But am I annoyed that, like, this game came out, like, a week and a half ago, and I haven't even played a single minute? Because I'm out here being tested to goddamn death by these bloody Mysterio bloody missions in Spider-Man 2, only to realise that I'm underleveled because you've got to beat 20 homies in, like, a minute. And I've not yet upgraded my fisticuffs to 130% damage or something. An hour I tried to do one the other day, trying to get this shit under a minute. And I was like, you know what, let me just go away. And the first thing I did was like, oh, I've got some skill points I can use to make me hit harder. course I'm not going to be playing Modern Warfare 3. I'm out here trying 100% Spider-Man 2. just before we talk about Atlantis, how the hell do you do 30 bloody spinny dippy shit before you hit the ground? What building do you leap off of?
Oh, fuck if I know. I haven't done that yet. It's pissed me off so much.
Oh, is that the one trophy you have left to do? Oh, no. Mm-hmm. The one. I'm so sorry. The one trophy I ask you for help with is the one you're struggling with too.
Oh, Christ.
It's got to be a combination of wingsuit jumping, venom leaping, mm-hmm. off the right building.
I think so. If I'm thinking about it, it's probably the tallest building in the financial district. I think so. At least that's my, because I've tried off the Empire State, nothing.
No.
Tried off the Avengers Tower. Nothing.
No.
So I think the financial district one is the go-to for it.
You know, we could just load up YouTube, TikTok, Mandem have probably done it. Reddit sniffers.
Hey guys.
No doubt.
Spider-Man 2 walkthrough today.
But yeah, Atlantis. Right. What do you make of this? Atlantis. What do you make of this apparently underrated Disney movie, even though it's goated?
It's so
this shit is goated in gold, man.
I love this fucking movie. And then you have Michael J. Fox as the lead, and he nails it. He gets every little aspect of it just perfect. And then a supporting cast, they're not big names. Which is honestly, I'm not mad at, because I feel like it takes the pressure off and you can just go. And the cast just goes, dude. Every character is fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Every character adds something to it. They don't feel like they're
superfluous. You got that mole guy with the glasses every time he puts them on, and his eyes just go fucking huge.
The guy who just loves dirt and...
He's got the glasses. The guy mm-hmm. loves dirt. I just mm-hmm. love dirt.
And then the dude with the explosives, his family runs a flower shop.
And then you've got my sexual awakening with the lead girl.
Mm-hmm.
You
know what's crazy to me? The woman who voices Kida in Atlantis also does the voice of Susie from the Rugrats.
Oh, we missed on Emperor's New Groove. Fucking Eartha Kitt is Yzma.
Eartha Kitt, Yzma. Mm-hmm.
And we, like, you know, you may know Eartha Kitt more so from Santa Baby. Like, why is this song so sexual and flirtatious when I'm a child listening to it, man? Like,
but it goes back to, like, why are these movies so underrated when you have these just phenomenal performers giving it their all and bringing such amazing characters to life? They deserve more love. And I honestly can say, without a shadow of a doubt, that our final movie deserved way more love than it gets. Because I truly believe that even though The Little Mermaid gets the credit for the beginning of the Disney Renaissance of the 90s and stuff.
Yeah.
I would honestly say without this movie, The Little Mermaid probably would have been given the time of day. And that movie is 1988's Oliver and Company.
The fucking year John Gotti got done. It's the same year we got Oliver and Shcompany. Holy crap.
And we're talking about cast. Okay, let's talk about cast real quick. You got Cheech Marin, mm-hmm. you got Bette Midler, you got mm-hmm. Cheryl Lee Ralph, you got Joey Lawrence, Dom DeLuise, and then you have fucking Billy Joel. What is this cast?
Mr. For the longest,
and he's not just like, oh, it's Billy Joel, a throwover. Like, no, he's the Artful fucking Dodger.
Uh-huh, yeah. He's, like, one of the lead roles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The man could go, and, oh, this, it just deserves way more love than it fucking got. Like, if you've seen it, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's worth the watch. One of my
original Disneys. Like, we all grow up with Disney somewhere or other. Like, the kids mm-hmm. today are growing up with just dog shit. We grew up with the best. We had the best in my opinion.
Have you seen the new trailer for Inside Out 2?
I thought you were gonna say, have you seen the new trailer for Snow White? Are we gonna talk about that train wreck disaster?
I don't want to talk about fucking Snow. The fucking Snow White doesn't want to talk about Snow White. Why the fuck would I want to talk about Snow White? But no, in the trailer for Inside Out 2, it's just like, it's just a little teaser, right? Oh God, he's dying.
You're out the... I don't want to talk about Snow White. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So the whole reason I'm bringing up the trailer for Inside Out 2 is because you're talking about...
Oh, yes.
How, you know,
sorry. I had to, like, sort of reset myself. Yes, I have seen the trailer for Inside Out. I don't want to hurt again. And so... Pixar just is good at that.
but here's my takeaway, though. Apparently in the new movie, they're introducing new emotions because the kid's turning 13, so
my
the first character
is playing
anxiety.
Yeah.
And I see this, and the only thing that pops into my head is Big Mouth did it.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like Inside Out's morphing. Inside Out 2 is going to morph into just the kid-friendly Big Mouth.
Yeah, you like, we know Disney doesn't want to explore puberty right. They won't.
No.
It's going to be woke puberty.
Yeah, and I mean, it's Pixar, so I'm hoping it's good. But yeah, I completely agree. I feel like the Disney that we got... You know, your Oliver and Company, Treasure, Tarzan, Treasure Planet, Atlantis, fucking...
The Disney that took risks, you mean?
Yeah, I feel like that's gone.
Yeah.
And it sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's been a lot of great Disney stuff that has come out recently. I would say a lot of it lands more in, like, the Pixar realm of Disney as opposed to, like, Disney.
Yeah, because, like, if we're talking about these live actions... Because we can't just, like... I know we don't want to talk about Snow White, but... I mean, I don't think any of these live actions are good.
And why is
the Lion King getting, like, a spin-off? Not only a spin-off, why is this shit being written and directed by Barry Jenkins, of all people? Do not waste this man's talent on...
Mufasa.
Wank. Ooh. Even these live actions are now getting their straight to DVD spin-offs. We can't talk about straight to DVD spin-offs without me having a mental breakdown in Target. Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Where I saw was it Aladdin 2 and 3?
Oh, the Return of Jafar, yeah.
And I was like, I thought that was just a Family Guy joke, and you're like, no, dude, these movies exist. No, no. Like, excuse me, I'm doing it again. No,
I swear to God, I've never broken someone's brain as hard as I broke my dude's brain with the reality that is straight to DVD Disney movies.
We had all this shit we wanted to do in the day, and I remember we just went to Buffalo Wild Wings and got fucked up. Like, just drank the pain away.
You just couldn't comprehend all the fucking Hunchback 2.
Yeah.
Aladdin
oh
2
my
and
god.
3, Lion King 2, Lion King 1.5, fucking Disney, Little Mermaid 2. It's just. Oh god, I'm doing it again. He's dying.
But like we're talking about, it was the Disney that took risks. Not there anymore. Mm-hmm. Because back in the day, DVDs made money.
Yeah.
DVDs made money. Matt Damon has said this time and time again. It's the reason why movies are flopping more often now. It's why movies used to cost so much back in the day compared to now. Like, the price of, like, you know, sort of setting money aside to get a surplus amount of DVDs and Blu-rays and, like, marketing. Because you could remarket the movie. Remember this movie that you saw over half a year ago? It's now coming back on DVD. It's like you'd see something in Easter, like between Easter and summer, you'd be like, oh shit, I know what I'm going to ask for Christmas. I'm going to ask for that on DVD. Perhaps maybe a collector's edition because it's Christmas. So you want a little bit special. My brother would open up some DVDs, I'd open up some DVDs, and then we'd choose one to watch for a Christmas movie. That just doesn't happen anymore. What's the point of getting hardware? I get hardware because I love my hardware. I've got a really powerful Xbox, and I've got a really great monitor, and I think just a little bit of me is just trying to, like, sort of, if I can keep this going longer so that my children can enjoy it someday, I will take that hit, and I'll spend a little bit of money getting a steelbook. And some steelbook covers, like, they're a little bit naughty, and they come with other shit. And that's how you get the BTS, that's how you get the special features. There's no other way to get that shit.
Nope.
Like, the piece of trivia that you only know on getting the Inception collector's edition special features, that the final level, the in the snow mountains, wasn't meant to be in snow. A week before they filmed, a blizzard hit the mountain. You know, the building they're in is on top of the building they built originally. That's how thick and solid the snow was. They built this shit, Jesus, got snowed over, they had to build it again. And then they had to, like, get the snowmobiles, all the snow gear. Like, that shit was meant to be just in a mountain.
Fucking
but you like you like if you just watch this movie like a little gremlin on for free on streaming, that, like, I don't understand how streaming makes money, but it does, because we don't get DVDs anymore. But yeah, man, like, you know, you got the Disney 80s, 90s, Disney's mid-noughties. Mm-hmm. You know WWE did it, like, says it perfectly. The mid-noughties is just the Attitude Era. Everyone had attitude. Everyone was just pushing the boat out a little bit. There was innuendo without realizing, like, half the jokes in Shrek. I was laughing at because they were pulling funny faces. I didn't fucking get them. But I watch it now, and I get them now. I watch it now, and I see Mama Bear as a rug halfway through the movie. I'm like, wait a minute. She was in the beginning being captured. Oh my god. Like, I killed Mama Bear. And then I was like, oh look, it's a donkey dragon hybrid. That's so funny. Wait a minute. Since I hit 16 and over, donkey did what to the dragon? Donkey did what to the dragon? Donkey was clapping some scaly cheeks, bruv.
Fucking A.
Sorry. And with that, we've returned.
Oh man. I honestly, I mean, I think that's It's the best place to end it for us this week.
Clapping scaly cheeks.
Clapping scaly cheeks. I have no idea how we topped that one.
I don't know how we got here, but we ain't getting any better than that. So welcome back. We love to see you. We take frequent breaks here, and when we do, you know, inevitably in about 2-3 weeks time, we'll come back for season 4. You'll be listening. We know. We see you. Our one listener and his computer or on his phone. Now, you're on your phone, aren't you? You should be sleeping. You've got your headphones on. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing? Go to bed. Shut up. At least turn the brightness down, man.
At least turn the brightness down, man.
You're trying to go to sleep here. Come on, go on. Shh. It's night time.
All right, remember to like, rate, subscribe, share us, and we will catch you on the flippity flip.
On the flippity flip.
All right, take it easy, everyone.
Come join us on this trip. Now I'm like to throwing out the scripts.
Come on, man. Come join us on the trip. I'm sorry. Now we're throwing out the scripts. Ah, we don't charge a penny. I hear the weekend's calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.